right. Let's pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, thank you for your presence here this morning. Lord, we know that you can show up in any situation at any moment. Lord, I pray that you would show up in our lives this week. Show up in the lives of our families and our friends, and in the lives of those who are far from you. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us this morning. Push me out of the way and speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Well, did you like that intro? Exciting. What's going to happen today? All right. Well, today we're going to talk about when we least expect them. When we least expect it. I'm sure that we've all had struggles in our faith. And I want to introduce you to somebody you probably have heard of, a guy named John Wesley. If you're unfamiliar with him, he was from England, lived there from 1703 to 1791. He was the number 15 child of 19. His father was a pastor, and he ended up going on to be a pastor himself. And early on in his career, his faith was a little sketchy, which is interesting to me, right? His faith was a little sketch. So he kind of confided in one of his friends, and his friends just said, just keep preaching faith until you have it. It's like, poof. So, I mean, what is essentially fake it till you make it, right? So that's exactly what he did. He took that advice and he was preaching and, you know, preaching about faith, and he just continued to preach about faith. And then somebody, through his preaching about faith, accepted Jesus as his Savior. So Wesley looked at that and he was surprised. But then Wesley started to experience some change because of what he experienced in this other person. So on May 24th, 1738, he was at a meeting of believers, and he was listening to somebody read Martin Luther's preface to the Epistle to Romans, and then he said this, "I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ and Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given to me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death." So God unexpectedly showed up in his life in that moment. His heart became warm and he discovered that he actually did have faith. Right, and I don't know about you, but I've certainly been there before, right, where you're in this, maybe it's a funk, maybe you're just kind of on the struggle bus, there's a period in your life where, you just start questioning things like, this just doesn't make sense, how can this happen, and a lot of times it can be some self-pity, and you're just like, this shouldn't be happening to me, blah, 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 whatever, but you allow the enemy to start creeping into our mind, right, and then our faith gets a little shaken. Right, that's kind of what was going on in his life, and as he continued on this faith journey, and his faith became stronger and stronger and stronger, and ultimately, when he died, he left behind over 130,000 people who had accepted Christ because of his preaching on faith. Right, so God can show up in very unexpected ways when we least expect it. And I'm sure that has happened to you as well. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about what happens when God shows up. When he just shows up and we aren't even thinking about it. And we're going to kind of park around Matthew chapter 24 this morning. And this is Jesus teaching his disciples, what's going to happen in the future, really. And it's specifically about his return. In verse 3, the disciples asked him? What signs will we see when the coming of the age? And then this is Jesus's kind of response in part, starting in verse 36 of chapter 24 of Matthew. It says, "Now concerning the day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, except the Father alone. As the days of Noah were, so the coming of the Son of Man will be. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah boarded the ark. They didn't know until the flood came and swept them all away. This is the way the coming of the Son of Man will be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding grain with a handmill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, be alert, since you don't know what day your Lord is coming, but know this. If the homeowner had known what time the thief was coming, he would have stayed alert, not let his house be broken into. This is why you are also to be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." So there's two different facets of this entire passage that we're going to look at. The first is the facet of end time theology. And you know, you'll notice in the very first verse that we looked at, verse 36, it says, "No one will know except for the Father." So right off the bat, Jesus is giving a clue of the level of care and the concern that God has about the end of age. The Father is not some name like, you know, Most High or God Almighty. He is Father, Abba. It is the Father, the one who loves us deeply and protects us fiercely, right? Just like a father would his child. That's the term that Jesus is using here. And then, of course, he refers to Noah and the flood in verse 37. Mentions people were going about their normal and everyday lives, and then the flood hit and they were oblivious to it. And they might have ignored the signs, right? And the flood came suddenly and swept them all up, right? Now, when we are walking in our everyday lives, we don't know when Jesus is coming. That's why we always talk about we need to live our lives as close to like Jesus as we can, because we have no idea when he's coming, and we don't want to be on the other side of it, right? We want to be just like him as much as possible. Excuse me. And Jesus says that this is how this will be when the Son of Man comes. They're just going to be going about their normal everyday lives, oblivious, right? And he's going to, bam, there he is. Two men will be working in the field, one will be taken. Two women will be working with a handmill, and one will be taken. It's interesting because the ones taken away compared to the ones swept away by the flood, right? And the implication is that the ones taken away are the ones who suffer, not the ones who remain. Not the ones who remain. And no one knows. Now, Jesus offers zero details, right? I know there's a lot of debate, you know, of when he's coming back. If we look at this, right, as the complete, inerrant word of God, nowhere in here does it say when he's coming back. Nowhere. So we take the Bible for what it actually says. We don't know. We have no idea. In 1988, a former NASA scientist, Edgar Wisnot, wrote a little book entitled 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Could Be in 1988. It generated a lot of buzz in certain Christian circles. Over 3 million copies were sold and published. It's estimated that 100,000 people gave their life to Jesus in anticipation of his imminent return. People were terrified that the end of the world was near. Church attendance grew, and some people even quit their jobs. Now, the author predicted Jesus would return sometime between September 11th and 13th of 1988. And when that didn't happen, he updated his prediction to October 3rd, 1988, and that didn't happen either. And here we are many, many years later, and he hasn't returned yet. Because we don't know. We don't know. If it was an important timeline for us to know, it would be in the scripture. Right? We would know, because it would be written. But we don't know, because it's not written. And Jesus, instead of giving us the timeline, what does he say in verse 42? He says, keep watch, and your Lord will come. Keep watch. Now, this is another important clue of how the Godhead is involved at the end of age. Jesus talked about the Father. Now he's referring to your Lord. Now, this is not a formal way of saying, you know, like Mr., right? Like Mr. Jesus. No, this is absolute authority. Your Lord, absolute authority. And to call Jesus Lord is to say he has absolute authority over everything. Everything on earth, everything in our lives, everything. He has absolute authority. And whatever happens, the future is in the hands of a loving Father and his Son who's been given absolute authority. And that is good news, right? It's not in our hands, thank goodness, because I promise you we would have already screwed it up, right? Thank goodness it's in Jesus' hands. Now I want to point to a particular part of our passage this morning, and it's really the last couple verses. But know this, if the homeowner had known what time the thief was coming, he would have stayed alert and not let his house be broken into. This is why you are to also be ready, because the Son of Man is coming to your house. I thought it was interesting that there was some sort of weird correlation between Jesus and a thief. Right now, is Jesus calling himself a thief? No, he's not calling himself a thief. Take a look at John 10:10. It says, a thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. And so that verse doesn't really square up with what Jesus was showing in that final verse. I think it was verse 44 of Matthew 24, of kind of paralleling with a thief. And we take a look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. It says, see, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. I will stand at the door and knock. Now, he's not breaking and entering, right? He's not breaking and entering, but he's standing at the door and he's knocking. Now, how do we reconcile a God of love who's pure as light, as it says in 1 John 1:5, it says, this message I have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. So how do we reconcile Jesus being the light and this idea of comparing himself to a criminal busting into somebody's house? Now, Jesus stands at the door and knocks, right? And he will knock, and he will knock, and he will knock, and it's up to us to open the door and invite him in, right? If we have a relationship with Jesus, and we're kind of in this weird spot where, you know, he's knocking, right? He's just banging on the door like, hey, time to let me in. You know, if we're in some trouble, you know what he's going to do? He's going to drop kick that door down, and he's going to come in and save us. He's going to drop kick it down and save us. We can't keep him outside forever. You know, as followers of Christ, we can't keep him outside forever. That's why it's so important that we share the gospel message with everybody we meet, because he is coming. Now, this isn't, you know, I have no predictions, right? But I know what the word says, and he's going to come eventually. So our job as followers of Jesus is to make other people recognize that their need for a Savior, and that Savior is solely Jesus Christ. And the second facet is God can show up in any situation. So if the first fast refers to his return, the second facet is talking about the present time. And this perhaps might be more, might have more relevance in your life right now. But God shows up all the time. I always love to say, you know, I want God to show up and show off. Right? He does that all the time to everybody in the world. We just not, might not see it, but he shows up. And he can show up at anybody's life in any moment, at any time, whenever he wants, however he wants to do it. And he works in his own timing. We don't know, right? It says it here, we don't know, but he works in his own timing. That's why when we pray, or at least when I pray, I said, God, I know you hear our prayers and that you will answer them in your time and at your will. Because it's not my time, it's his time. It's not your time, it's his time. But God works, or he shows up in these ways. It's like an ambulance showing up to, you know, a traffic accident, or it's a doctor showing up to, you know, a delivery room to deliver a baby. It's Jesus shows up. You know, when Paul was on his way to Damascus to kill more followers of Jesus, what happens? He saw this light and meets Jesus. Peter, when he was fishing, right, just like he did the day before and the day before and the day before, and he was fishing, and then he bumped into Jesus. Remember what Jesus said in Mark chapter 1? He says, as he passed alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, Simon's brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And what did he say? He said, follow me, and I will make you fish for people, or I'll make you fishers of men, depending on what translation you have. Important to note, follow me, follow me. The Samaritan woman, right? She came down to the well to get water day after day after day. And then one day, there's Jesus. She sees Jesus, and what did he say? He said, I will give you living water. And her life changed. All of these scenarios, the people's lives changed because he showed up when they least expected him to. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, right? He heard that Jesus was coming. So he climbs this fig tree just to get a glimpse of him. And what does Jesus do? He looks up. And then he invites himself to dinner at Zacchaeus' house. Like, hey, I'm coming over. Get ready, right? And Zacchaeus' life completely changed. And we talked about just a couple weeks ago, maybe last week, whenever it was, the demon-possessed man, how he was just shackled and didn't have anybody. He was completely, you know, blocked off from community or family or anything like that. And what did Jesus do? Demons get out of him. You're free. Go back to your home. Completely changed his life. Jesus shows up when we least expect it. When we least expect it. There's certainly been times in my own life where, you know, God has shown up, you know, and it could be really at any time, but, you know, more specifically, it's, you know, in the transition between my old job and now my new job out at the base. My old job was kind of getting a little stagnant, wasn't really feeling fulfilled, wasn't sure what I was supposed to be doing, prayed a lot about it. And then they, you know, this other position opened up. And then I ultimately got it, right? But in between that time, I had a lot of conversations with myself, which was my first mistake, right? My first mistake was not having conversations with God. Instead, I was having conversations with myself. Like, man, I'm just, you know, it was really kind of getting me down in the dumps, you know, somewhat borderline depressive symptoms, just kind of bummed because I wasn't enjoying my old job anymore, right? So I was like, man, God, if I know that you're real. Obviously, you're the king of the universe. Just help me out here a little bit. So as I was kind of going through all of this stuff, you know, and this has probably happened to you, but I know it happens to me a lot. You know, you'll be just thinking of something, or you'll be talking with somebody, or, you know, praying or whatever it is, and then, you know, maybe you're scrolling through social media, or you're reading a book, or you're reading an article, or you're doing something, and then whatever, you know, maybe something that you're reading has something to do with the Bible, right? Whatever. For me, that was the case. And then it would just show like random scriptures. And maybe it was scriptures that had to do with, you know, what I was reading. Maybe it was like an advertisement, you know, for like Bible Gateway or whatever. But the scripture, like it pierced my heart. And it was God showing up when I wasn't expecting him to show up. He just came in. It's like, hey, dude, I'm here. Quit being a dum-dum, right? Yeah, and this has been kind of exacerbated with the whole situation going on with my dad, right? You know, his accident and the loss of his wife, all these different things. You know, God has certainly shown up in my life with that. Because I don't know if you know how difficult it is to be a son and also, you know, a counselor to a parent, but it is hard. And there's no way that I'd be able to do that if God didn't show up in unexpected ways in my own life. As a byproduct of that, God is not only showing up in my life to help, you know, my dad navigate through this season that he's in, but he's also showing up in my dad's life. And oh, by the way, he's also, whether he wants to admit it or not, he is showing up in my brother's life through all of this. And I know Mike's going to watch, so hey, talking about you. Right? He watches every Sunday. But God, you know, God is just showing up in unexpected ways because he's not just still knocking on the door. We're opening the door and letting him in to do what he needs to do in our lives, whatever it is, because that's what he does. But we, like I've said it a bajillion times before, we can't just, you know, be all closed off and not be receptive to receiving what he has for us. We need to open those doors and allow him to, you know, to really mold us into what he wants us. We are the clay, right? He is the potter. We need to allow him to mold us into whatever he's trying to do. And oftentimes he will do that in unexpected ways, in ways that we wouldn't even fathom, we wouldn't think would happen, but he will show up. And if you take nothing else from today's message, I want you to know that he is going to show up, and he has shown up, and he will continue to show up in ways when you least expect it. He can show up in any situation at any moment. Any moment. We need to keep watch and we need to be ready. Now, how can we do that? We can do that by looking at what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome in Romans chapter 12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in affliction, be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs and pursue hospitality. So we can be ready by being joyful in hope, by being patient in affliction, by being faithful in prayer, by sharing with those in need, and by practicing hospitality. All of these things we can do. All of these things help us get closer to being more like Jesus. And as we do that, what's going to happen? People are going to see that in our lives. They're going to be like, man, that is kind of really cool what you're doing. How do you do that? I'm like, it's totally not me. I can tell you who it is, though, and that's how we can start those spiritual conversations. So let's not get caught up in the details of all this, right? Let's not get caught up in when he's coming back, because as the Bible clearly doesn't say, we don't know, right? It doesn't say when he's coming back. So let's not get caught up in that. Let's live in peace, knowing that the future belongs to him and not to us. Let's live in expectant hope, knowing that God can show up and does show up and will show up in every kind of situation, especially in the ones when you least expect it. That's really his pattern, right? It's his pattern throughout Scripture, church history, and even in our own lives. If we really took stock in our own lives and really looked at what he has done in our life, we would probably all agree with that, that is his pattern. He will just show up. Right? He will just show up. So be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, sharing with those in need and practicing hospitality. And what if we became known as the church who does those things? Not saying that we're not, but what if people really just looked at us like, man, you guys are showing so much joyfulness and hope, and you're so patient when you're going through some stuff. You are a bunch of prayer warriors, and you share with those that are in need. And then, by the way, you also welcome people into your church and into your homes and into, you know, to the dinner table and all these different places. Let's continue to be a church like that. Let's continue to show people what life with Jesus looks like, what it feels like. Because we don't know when he's coming, so let's bring as many people into a relationship with him, or at least share the gospel message so they can make the decision to follow him as often as possible so he can show up in unexpected ways for them as well. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for meeting us here today and reminding us that you're never far away. Lord, so often we become consumed by our different routines, maybe our worries, our anxieties, our own plans. But Lord, you've shown us that in those quiet moments of our life, and even in those crazy storms, that the ordinary and unexpected, you are so there. You are there in our midst always. Father, help us to live with expectant hearts. Give us the courage, Lord, give us the courage to just truly watch for your hand at work in our lives and the lives of others. And even when we can't see it, Lord, we know that you are still moving. So, Father, as we go out this week, I pray that you would surprise us with moments of your grace. Show up in places, Lord, where we would least expect it, and remind us, because we are sinners and we forget and we don't take stock in it, Lord, but remind us that you are always faithful, that you are always working in our lives, Father. And that you are always, always near. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.